Well, good afternoon and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. No, this is not Jim Madonna. I'm Will Purcell. We're sitting in for Jim. However, we have a very special guest in the studio, Leah Madonna. And so this hour, it's going to be everything you ever wanted to know about Jim Madonna with Leah. So stick with us, won't you? And we'll get right into the program with Leah right after this word from Jim.
Where did the miners sell their gold? Everyone knows they sell it to the precious metals people. Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. In addition, Oxford also has some fascinating precious metal gift and investment ideas. These include sending gifts of silver. And listen to this, folks. The silver Alaska coin and the Oxford Alaska bar. These 1 ounce pure silver pieces are a unique way to share Alaska with friends and family for under $10. In addition to that, Oxford also offers investment ideas in silver bars, gold bars, and occasionally platinum coins. The services that Oxford offers include the special precious metals quote line. That line for the daily quote on gold, silver, and platinum is 452-7858. So if you're anxious to know the daily value of your gold and silver and platinum investment, give them a call at 452-7858. And if you need special information regarding investment ideas and what is available in the gold market, you can give D. Church and the folks down there at Oxford a call at 456-3967. And tell them that you heard about them from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails, right here on KFAR.
All right, thank you very much, Jim. Our guest is Leah Madonna, and Leah, welcome to the show. You've done this before. You're an old hand at this, right?
Well, not that much of an old hand at it, Lowell.
I got to ask you, and it's probably a question that Jim doesn't ask you because he probably knows the answer. Where did you and Jim meet?
Would you believe we met in a mining extension course because I happened to be a student interested in rocks and minerals and all those wonderful things.
Okay, so was this at the University of Alaska or where?
Yes, University of Alaska, Fairbanks.
Okay. What brought you to Fairbanks, first off?
Well, I came up here many, many years ago, and at that time I was a military housewife.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here ever since, about 30 years.
Is that right?
Yes.
You got me, I think, by a year. Now, you came up in the late 50s, right?
That's correct.
I got here in 1960, so I think you've even by just maybe 1 or 2 years. You know, we were reminiscing, Lee, out there in the office here prior during the newscast, and you brought up something that I had forgotten totally about. That was, we both, about 25 years ago, were into archery up here.
Correct.
I wondered if the Golden North Bow Hunters Association, was that the name of it, I think?
Yes.
Is still going, I wonder.
I believe it is, Lowell. I haven't shot a bow in many years, but I believe they are a very active club.
I was not that good myself. I used a low weight bow, and I spent thousands of dollars on lost arrows, probably, I would imagine.
That was a common problem that we shared. I used to lose both aluminum and fiberglass arrows.
Yeah. Doesn't matter what kind they were. We thought that perhaps, if you could put some kind of a tracer bullet in them so you could see where they went, that might be the way to go, but could never figure out how to do that. But we are here to talk about mining today. You and I were also talking about the fact that we think although we were here during the 67 flood, that we probably pretty well killed that issue here in the last couple of days on Bill and my show. But let's talk about mining extension. Now, there are some women in mining up here, right?
That's correct.
And you are one of them.
Yes, there is an organization called Alaska Women in Mining, which consists of both lady miners, miners' wives, people who work in the industry, and those who are simply interested in the mining industry.
Okay. How many, does this local group get together very often? I mean, there's scheduled meetings and stuff like that?
Generally, they have a monthly meeting. Fall through winter and spring, and they're not too active in the summer with meetings because a lot
everybody's
of
everybody's out on the mines,
creek.
Sure, right, doing their thing. How many members do you have locally? Any idea?
I'm not sure what it is local at present time. I would just guess that it's probably 40, 50 members.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Fairbanks group which started the organization and also later started an Anchorage branch. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty proud of that.
Is it the purpose of Alaska Women in Mining to promote mining in the interior of Alaska, or what's the purpose of the group?
To promote mining, to educate the public regarding mining, to offer scholarships for young people who are interested in the industry, and also to do community service type projects.
Mm-hmm.
Community's certainly given a lot to the mining industry, and we'd like to give something back.
Well, does Alaska Women in Mining, either the Anchorage or the Fairbanks organization, do you go down to Juneau and lobby for mining issues?
No, we are more of a service and public relations organization. We leave the politics to others as a rule.
Okay. If you have a question for Leah, give us a call at 479-8255. That's 479-TALK. Now, I know over the years here, you've taken a lot of courses at the University of Alaska and the Mining Extension Program. And what might those courses consist of, and what did they do for you, Leah?
Well, I started taking the Mining Extension courses in the, almost the very beginning of 1970. As a matter of fact, even before Jim was teaching that course, I took from some of the other professors. And my purpose initially in taking it was to learn how to locate gold. Also, I was interested in rocks and minerals. And if you're interested in getting out in the field in Alaska, it's an excellent course to take because you do learn so much that helps you understand what you see in this country.
All right, you folks should know, you see, because you can't see Leah, but she has a gorgeous hairdo. Now I'm going to have you mess it up by putting on the earphones because I think we got a phone call for you, Leah. Hi, you're on the air with Leah. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, Lowell, I have a question. It's nice to have someone on that's in the mining field. Has there been any interest lately by Japanese interest in the mining industry of Alaska? And let me follow this up with a rumor I've heard that there's some Japanese or Korean business group that's thinking of building a private road from somewhere northwest of Fairbanks into the Seward Peninsula and charging tolls on it. So I'll hang up and get your answers.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. 479-8255. Leah, have you?
Okay. I have not heard that particular story, and it could be true. I'm sure that there's a lot of interest in production of hard rock mining mm-hmm. in the state for now and in the future.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't now. How about Japanese, Korean, foreign interests into the mining community in Fairbanks?
I don't really know that. I haven't, as I said, I haven't heard anything. I know that it's quite common for both Canadian and Australian companies to become interested mm-hmm. in our state if mining becomes favorable, you know, from mm-hmm. state outlook.
Does that bother you a little bit, foreign interest coming in?
No, as a matter of fact, I know that's been controversial lately. It doesn't bother me because generally the companies who come in are dealing with, we'll say, as an example in Fairbanks, they're dealing with local companies who for years have had their claims and done their work on them, but they don't have the financial backing to start a larger operation. And sometimes this is very beneficial to our locals as well as the outside interest and the mining industry as a whole.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll take your calls for Leah at 479-8255. That's 479-TALK, and we'll be right back.
B&L Pawn Shop at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman is the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, that's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea, let me list a few items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trail, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that, too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pond, 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then because it's attached. However, ask Killer, you never know. That's B&L Pond, corner of Gaffney and Cushman, 452-6491. Open 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal.
Do you think we can get this job done by noon today? Yes, I think we can. Two, bring in the extra equipment.
Carpenter ants are very destructive to your home. If you find them on the floors, they're probably in the walls, and they are busy. Paratex 5 Piper is the answer. Paratex 5 Piper's state-certified experts know how and where to look for the little beasties that are your home's archenemies. Paratex 5 Piper, certified, licensed, and bonded. 456-5640. 456-5640.
And they can also fix it if you have ice worms in your mines or something, right?
Oh, sure.
Okay, good. Well, we just give them a little extra plug there. 20 and a half minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, we're taking your calls for Leah at 479-8255, 479-TALK. Before our last caller, Leah, we were talking a little bit about the Mining Extension Service. So you've been attending courses there on and off, and of course you are, correct me if I'm wrong, you are the owner of Alaskan Prospectors, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So you probably had a pretty good knowledge of this whole thing going in, right? In other words, were you a miner before you owned the shop or before you met Jim or not?
No, I had an interest in rocks and minerals and the formations that I viewed in Alaska, like around the Healy Coal District, just a genuine interest. And I was a little concerned at first that perhaps in signing up for mining extension courses that I might be the only woman there, that maybe it was just for miners, and I found out that that's not necessarily true.
Do you actively mine?
No. I recreationally prospect occasionally. I love to find the minerals and trace them up to the vein system, and through the courses I've learned how to do that type thing.
Any gold nuggets you've ever uncovered of any size?
No, I have to be truthful. I have never yet found that elusive gold nugget, and I'm still hoping, as any good prospector would, that one of these days I will.
Now, we were talking the other day. In fact, it was part of a contest that I held on the radio, which basically, well, what was the largest nugget found in Alaska? And, of course, it was the one in Nome at 107 ounces, two penny weight. I couldn't believe the size of this nugget. It was like 8 inches long by 4 inches wide by... And we figured out at the current gold prices, today's market, it would sell for about $39,000 plus is what this one gold nugget was worth. And that's not bad. But I guess, don't all miners kind of dream of making that big hit or finding that big nugget? Isn't that part of the excitement of it?
Oh, I certainly think it would be exciting. But if you stop and think about the placer miner, for the most part, the nuggets are rare, and it is exceptional to find something that large. Not all creeks would have something that large, but they really count on that gold dust that when we see it in our pan, we think, well, that's not very much gold, but that's what they are extracting that pays the bills around this town for groceries and diesel and all of the materials they need.
Let me ask you a question, because I don't really get a chance, because we're doing a little other work around here, and I don't get a chance often to hear Jim, and of course this is probably the miners out there. It's going to sound a little naive, but are there any areas left in Alaska where, quote-unquote, the big strike might happen? I mean, where are they looking right now?
Well, I think in hard rock, of course, I'm certainly not an expert on that, but I think we find that many of our local exploration companies are looking at hard rock sources throughout the state, areas that in the past were not economical to mine, and we didn't have perhaps all of the technology we have today, but certainly not any great amount of gold has been extracted if from what I've read, compared to what may be found in the future. Not those big nuggets, though.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know for oil exploration that they're using satellite photographs. I'm trying to remember the word, and it doesn't come to mind. Anyway, not ultraviolet, but they're photographs, right? And they will show where there are possible chambers of oil and so forth. Can you do this in hard rock mining, too? Will aerial photographs show where there might be deposits?
I believe that imagery does, but that is, of course, beyond my expertise again. I do know that the university has in the past offered courses where they have used that type of imagery looking for old placer mine benches, mm-hmm. where the stream course has changed and the gold may be, you know, not along that stream course, but off to the side where there was once the stream was going.
All right, we've got a couple of calls for you here, Leah. Let's go back to your phone calls at 479-8255. Hi, you're on the air with Leah. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, Leah?
Yes.
Leah, Dave here. A couple of quick questions, and I'll hang up and listen. If in your operations, if you have you come on to fossils of any type, and what is the proper procedure when a miner can come on to bones or fossils? Do they have to be reported, and what goes on?
Okay, good question, Dave. We'll let Leah answer that. Okay, first off, you ever run across any fossils in your mining?
Well, yes, in my prospecting, I have run across fossils in the Rainbow Mountain region off of the Richardson Highway, but I don't believe that was the type you're speaking of. I think you're talking more of the mastodon type materials that we find in the Fairbanks region, and I am not sure, but I do feel that you are required to check with perhaps BLM, Bureau of Land Management, as well as certainly could find out from the
University
of Alaska, and I believe that they do have some requirements there.
Okay, let's go to another phone call for Leah. You're on the air.
I have a concern about some of the activities in the lower 48 where very large foreign corporations are coming in and reprocessing tailings and going over ground that was not profitable before and are using cyanide to melt down the particles of gold and then gathering them in containers of some type which leak and leach into the ground and into the groundwater. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of any such activity up here or any possibilities of any such activity?
I was fortunate for 2 or 3 years now to accompany Jim when he was giving conference presentations outside of Alaska, in particular in Nevada. And I was fortunate enough to visit some heap leach mining sites. And the containment ponds, the liners, the dilution percentages, I don't know. But with water, these particular mines had absolutely no problems. And either through overflow or anything, and they are monitored carefully. They are required to be by both the miner and, of course, the state and federal agents come in and monitor this as well.
Let me jump in here for a minute. For those of us who are laymen, the heap leach was the term you used. What can you kind of describe that for us? What is it?
My description will be a little bit crude, but from what I recall is the material is excavated, it is put onto a pad, I believe, and then at that point pipes are run through the materials with, we'll say, little water outlets. Everything has a pad underneath, and this material is pumped through these pipes. It sprays like a very light sprinkler system across the pad, the material as the water and the heat leach solution that I believe picks up the heavy metals, then these run back into other pipes, back into tanks where it is, at this point, the heavy metal solutions goes into tanks and then on into the plant for processing. as I say, I'm not too good. Jim could explain this much better. But everything was very clean and very safe. And I visited two large, very large operations as well as one one-man operation. And they had not had problems. And in the case of one of them, they had been doing it for many years.
There was a report on one of the news reports recently where they showed that some wells in the area had been condemned and new, much deeper wells that had to be dug. This immediately aroused my concern.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, listen, I appreciate your phone call. I don't know if we have any further comment on that or not at this point. And again, we're taking your phone calls at 479-8255, 479-TALK. These two operations you saw were in what states or state?
These were in Nevada.
Mm-hmm. I would assume that there's probably some of it going on in California, too, or is California not too populated? Of course, I was raised up around the Sacramento area, and of course, Sutter's Mill and everything else in that area is where gold was discovered in California and started the great gold rush there. Is there a lot of operations still going on in California that you're aware of or not?
I know that there are several, and I think there is one in the vicinity of Sonora, California, and the people, as a matter of fact, of Sonora were quite happy to have this particular mine in operation again. It's been going on for several years, and there have not been problems there, to the best of my knowledge.
No, the reason they were glad to see it was of the job opportunities and the money brought into the community.
Job opportunities, right, to keep people employed in their local area. And certainly, if it can be done successfully in California, where they would be under the scrutiny of not only all the federal and state agencies, but the environmental groups, and everyone's concerned for their environment. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a caller on the line for you, Leah, but we're going to take a break first, so if our caller will just stand by, we'll be with you in about 90 seconds.
Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gage Truck and Auto Repair. And that's not just my opinion, folks. The Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gage Truck and Auto their prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gage has two large shops and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. And you know, with that much attention, you will get fast, courteous service to have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gage can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mountain balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gage is a one-stop service center. And if you need an IM inspection, I've said this many, many times, Gage has a no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right, if you don't pass, you don't pay at Gage. And don't forget, folks, Gage's towing service. He has three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. You might want to write that number down and put it on your glove box. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gage Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, or give them a call at 456-6156.
John Corbett is making application for a new beverage dispensary liquor license, doing business as Boundary Lodge, located at Boundary, Alaska, 99790. Interested parties should submit written comment to their local governing body, the applicant, and to the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board at 550 West 7th Avenue, Anchorage, Alaska, 99501.
Fairbanks Motors announces the arrival of the all-new 1990 Subaru Legacy. The new Legacy takes the normal Subaru benefits of reliability and superb value to an even greater level with a 130-horsepower engine, four-wheel disc brakes, optional four-wheel drive, and user-oriented technology. The Subaru Legacy is one of the best values in any car today. Test drive your Subaru Legacy today and experience the value and comfort yourself. The Subaru Legacy, only at Fairbanks Motors, 3775 South Cushman.
Our guest is Leah Madonna. This is Jim Madonna's wife, and Jim is out of state this week, so Leah consented to join us on the program and talk a little bit about mining. We've got a caller on the line. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air with Leah. Do you have a question or comment?
Question. Leah, in the Good News Bay area, that was platinum, wasn't it, pretty much in that area?
I believe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I was just wondering... I went to a symposium at the university, this was about 7 or 8 years ago, and they were talking about some of the problems they had with high clay content, which the fines used to stick to, and that they were. I was just wondering if they ever come up with a deal in order to reclaim those fines more efficiently. You know.
Well, again, that's a little out of my line of expertise. I do know that clay is a problem in many areas of Alaska, and of course they do have different systems that they're using in, at least in placer mining today, from concentrating tables and wheels to just the high pressure washing through the trommels. Some people are into jig systems. And I guess it's, from what I understand, it's especially important that those large rocks going out to tailings be cleaned very thoroughly, because if the clay clings to those rocks, then it may be carrying a lot of small particles of gold as well.
Yeah. How about at that same symposium, the John Moskovich down in Flat, is it?
John Miskovich.
Miskovich, yeah. He was presented a deal on cribbing down, or going shaft straight down and then hydraulicking underneath. Do you know if anything, if you ever did anything with that?
No, I'm afraid that's just a little beyond my knowledge.
Yeah.
However, I would like to say, for the university, just being a student occasionally at the university, when a miner or a prospector has this type problem, they can make an appointment with, say, Jim Madonna in Mining Extension or the gentleman in Mineral Engineering. And this is what the university up there is all about. We are fortunate having it located here, because you can take your problems to them, and they will work with you on resolving clay problems. As an example, last year Jim was doing all summer long. He was working at a miner's help program, so when a miner was having difficulty with his concentrates or running his machinery, Jim actually went out on site and worked with the miner, videoed it, and then presented a report to the miner. This is the kind of thing that we should call on the university for, and that even applies to heat leaching. If there's fears or concerns, then there are people at the university that could address these issues and probably prevent a lot of unfounded scares.
Yeah. Okay,
Thank you very much for your call. Hi, you're on with Leo Madonna. Do you have a question or comment?
I have a question for her. Does she happen to see the 2020 program Friday night about cyanide heap leaching in Nevada?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I was a little disappointed that both sides of the picture was not presented.
Well, I think both sides of the picture were presented. They had a mining president present his side of the case, and they had a resident whose wells were poisoned with cyanide present his side of the case.
Sorry, I missed that program.
It was a very interesting program, and certainly people should be concerned about any kind of contaminant going into their system, whether it's right through the city water system or whatever in Fairbanks. What I was addressing was that the host of that show made the comment that, well, gold is only used for jewelry, right? And the lady that she was talking to said, that's it. And since I'm here and I'm kind of talkative, I would like to point out that while gold and coins are a big area of the use of gold, we can be very grateful to the fact that we would not be in a space age having satellites up there in the sky, nor putting men into space without the gold content and the solar shields that are used.
Well, that's a very small inaccuracy that was only a small part of the overall program. The basis of the program took a look at the fact that at these huge open pit mines in Nevada, there is no reclamation that is required. There is very little in the way of pollution control required, and there are no royalties paid to the U.S. government for the right to take the gold out of federal land, which all of us own.
Yes, and of course that's a controversial subject that I can't get into too much. I understand where you're coming from, and I do not know what the royalty situation is in the state of Alaska or Nevada. I was under the assumption that the federal government, under Bureau of Land Management, as they do in Alaska, requires reclamation and tremendous bonding cost up front prior to doing the mining. And I was a little confused that they said that there was to be no reclamation. So I can't answer one way or the other. I just wonder if it was an omission that someone didn't cover.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. We've got a lot of calls for Leo this afternoon. Hi, you're on the air with Leo Madonna. Did you wait? Did not wait. Hi, you're on with Leo Madonna. I lost that one, too. For those of you who were calling in who did not get through with Leo, we've got some open lines right now at 479-8255. Come back with your calls and questions, comments in just a moment.
I'm happy the Tip Top Chevrolet Buick is a sponsor of Alaska Gold Trails. They're a hometown company. Tip Top Chevrolet Buick has been in business for 32 years. It has been owned and operated by three generations of Ginthers. Robbie Ginther is the general manager. Tip Top Chevrolet Buick is located 1916 South Cushman. Their phone number, 452-8211. I hope you have all that information. You never know when it might be worth a silver ingot during one of our contests. I always love to do this Tip Top Chevrolet ad that, similar to what Robbie Ginther does on television. Let me do it for you right now. You've never driven anything like the 1989 full-size Chevy pickup available right now at Tip Top Chevrolet. It's the hardest working pickup with the longest regular cab in Chevrolet history. And it's got a new chassis system, a new aerodynamic shape with a new rear wheel anti-lock brake system and Instatrack shift on the fly on the four-wheel drive. The 1989 full-size Chevy pickup. It's new, it's exciting, and it's here in Fairbanks at Tip Top Chevrolet, your Chevy Team Alaska dealer. Drop on over and take a look. And don't forget, folks, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet. Also, let them know that you heard about them on KFAR with Jim Madonna.
Premium books are now available. Now is the time to plan your entries for the fair. The new premium book is a complete listing of all the categories for anything and everything you want to enter in the fair. Come by the fair office today at 1800 College Road and get your premium book. Or call 452-3750 for more information.
Let's take a moment to talk about one of our newest sponsors here on Alaska Gold Trails, and that's Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank. One of Mount McKinley's most innovative and beneficial services is their Prime Time account. This account is for people who have passed their 55th birthday and offers numerous free services. For instance, no service charges and no minimum balance on your checking account. Plus, your first 200 checks are free. But there's more. Your Prime Time checking account will earn interest at 5.25% per annum, compounded daily for an effective annual yield of 5.47%. With a Prime Time checking account, fees are waived for traveler's checks, money orders, and money wire transfers. And Prime Time customers also get free notary service. Direct deposits are also available free. Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank is located conveniently at 530 4th Avenue with entrances on both 3rd and 4th Avenues and ample parking off of 4th. Their phone number is 452-1751. And when you stop by over there, tell them you heard about them on Alaska Gold Trails here on KFAR Radio.
We've got callers on the line. I just cut myself very minorly here, and I went to the first aid kit, and that's a little mentholatum, one of those little swabs that you use, and you could die of blood loss waiting to try to get one of these things open. Anyway, let's go back to your phone calls here at 479-8255 for Leo Madonna. You're on the air.
This is disrespect to your guest, but if the questions get too hot and heavy for your purported experts, well, perhaps you should get some new experts.
Well, thank you. Nice to see we're on an even keel this afternoon. 479-8255. I don't think that Leah, in her defense, ever said that she was an expert. She came on to fill in for Jim, and I understand that we will have a new guest next week, Charlie Roberts, right? Robert Charlie. Well, I had the names right. I just had them reversed. So he will be with us next week. And we were basically talking when we started the show regarding the mining extension program at the university. So you would suggest perhaps that if women are interested in getting into this program and finding out more about the Alaska Women in Mining, the organization, that perhaps if someone has an interest there, that they should attend some classes at the university and find out more about it would be the best way, huh?
Well, what I wanted to point out, Lowell, was that the mining extension program has a lot to offer for people, male or female, of almost any age, who are not necessarily interested in mining, but wish to learn more about their natural surroundings. Perhaps they're interested in rocks and minerals, collecting these things, or just knowing more when they go out in the field and go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it is a program that a woman doesn't have to feel that she's just going to be around a bunch of men or miners. She can go freely, enjoy, and learn something. And that's a good place to ask about environmental concerns, because if anything, these programs through the university are interested in environmental concerns and doing things soundly.
All right, let's go back to your phone calls at 479-8255. You're on the air.
Hello, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Hello, Leah, this is Rochelle Elliott. I missed the last 15 minutes, but I just took the rock and mineral identification class this spring, and I want to continue. I'm probably repeating a little what you've already done. Where do I go from here? I want to take more classes. I'm a woman, naturally. A little bit nervous. I'm not a gold miner. Purely fun, recreation. I'm interested in geology.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do? How did you do it? What course? Did you take it over years and years? Or?
Well, I took some of the courses several different times, but of course, in the last few years, Jim has developed a mining technology program, both a one-year and a two-year program, so that you have both your rocks, minerals, basic prospecting, geochemical, all of these things. In addition, you know, he started and led two mining tours to Australia, which the students included a lot of ladies, and
I'm glad you brought that up. When are you going to do the next one?
Well, I don't know. Of course, that's up to the university and Mining Extension, but it was interesting. We had BLM ladies who worked in the Anchorage offices, and we had state fish biologists who went on that, as well as a Bureau of Mines geologist, and we also had local Fairbanksans who were simply interested in learning more about the mining industry, see how it was done in another country. Of course, it wasn't all play. We had a lot of fun, but we visited all types of mines, and we saw our share of kangaroos, and in addition, we had to write reports, and it was the first time that Mining Extension students were permitted in the Placer Mining Conference that spring to present a paper and poster. And something interesting about that course, too. There were some who could not go to Australia,
mm-hmm.
but in conjunction with our part of the course, which it was called Mining and Milling, the students that stayed in the Fairbanks area had homework and projects to do, so that when we all got back together, that we all presented poster sessions at the Placer Mining Conference. And since that time, there have been some of us who have even been requested to and gave our first formal presentations and been published. So,
I attended part of the Placer Mining Conference this spring, too. I got to go down to the Valdez Creek Gold Mine, and I went to a couple of sessions. But I'd be very interested in that Australian trip. I might be ready mm-hmm. for it by the time it's offered again.
How different, let me jump in here, how different is mining in Australia from here? Are these the same techniques? Are they be able to garner any new ideas? Or?
Well, where we have a lot of coal and plenty of water, in Australia the opposite is true.
Mm-hmm.
In many areas it's dry and very little water. They certainly have environmental concerns there, but you know, Australia is a tremendously large country, and it's growing, and they have been mining, you know, many, many years. And the interesting thing is that the people seem to grow up there recognizing that mining is important, not just financially, but to building their own railroad tracks, to building many of their trains. You know, it starts underground and it goes on up through the mining and milling process and then into fabrication. So they're pretty self-sufficient on their extraction, and of course the public is more receptive to it.
Mm-hmm. Is our caller still on the line?
Yes, I am. I just wanted to make one comment.
Go ahead.
I found when I took the rock and mineral identification course, I was interested in geology, but I think that course and the other one, the gold mining weekend course, brought about the history of gold mining, and there was a field trip. I find those courses would be wonderful for anybody who lives in Fairbanks and is just interested in our history and what's happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. 479-8255. You have a question or comment for Leah? We'll take your calls, and we're going to take this commercial break, and we'll come right back. Give us a call, 479-8255, 479-TALK.
The newest sponsor to Alaska Gold Trails is Macaulay's Reprographics Incorporated, located at 721 Gaffney Road, right here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Their phone number is 452-8141. Macaulay's is a supplier for surveying equipment. They also repair instruments and also rent and service these instruments. They have a complete engineering and architectural supply store, and they also supply or provide a number of services. Rebecca McCauley is the president treasurer, while Alfred Skondovich is the vice president and general manager. Some of the services that they offer are audio and visual aids, Canadian maps, blueprinting, copying service, rentals of surveying and equipment and supplies, as I mentioned before, and also a variety of other materials are available for the earth scientists, including compasses, mylar overlays for map production, and the map producing pens and other professional type drawing materials. So once again, if you're dealing with earth sciences and mining, you might also like to know that they have the hip chains necessary for lining out the claims, and these are available, and also the thread for these chains are available at Macaulay's Reprographic, located at 721 Gaffney Road. Their phone number, once again, is 452-8141.
1-800-874-2748. That's your number for fun this summer in the greater Prince William Sound area. Call for tourist information and accommodations in Valdez and the surrounding area. 1-800-874-2748. The oil spill has not affected areas normally visited by tourists. Don't let the news keep you away. Have fun in Prince William Sound this summer. Get the facts. Let the tourist hotline help you plan your trip. Call toll-free 1-800-874-2748.
When you want to stay here, it's just one place to be.
Number one automobile dealer in Fairbanks also sells the number one motorhome in the industry. Fleetwood Jamboree, Rally, and Searcher motorhomes are on display for immediate delivery with financing terms up to 15 years. Come see us for outdoor fun and go with the winner.
The best deal anywhere is right here.
I guess this week on Alaska Gold Trails is Leah Madonna. I'm Lowell Purcell, sitting in for Jim Madonna. We're taking your phone calls at 479-8255. Leah, we were talking off the air here during the commercial break, and we might mention that the courses offered by the Mining Extension Service are non-credit courses. So basically, you really got to want to do this, right? I mean, unless you're out after a degree or something.
That's right. This is a public service courses that are open to doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, male or female. If you're simply interested in mining or prospecting from a recreational point of view, or just learning more about these things in nature, it's something you probably find interesting. That's the way I got into it. I'm not a miner. I have never been a miner. I have no intention of being one, but I am interested in collecting rocks and minerals, or just studying the scenery that I'm looking at. And I think that you see where it comes in. If a person gets into this type course, perhaps some of those people, if he had 30 students, maybe one or two would eventually wish to become a geologist or something in a related field. It just opens up your eyes to many different fields that would lie in either teaching or the study of earth science. Just my opinion.
Did you as a kid, Leah, like I think we all did when we were kids, I mean, you went out and you bought the... I, for a while, was interested in rocks. It was something I did not pursue, however, in later life. But I went out, right, and I bought the little kit, and it has all the different kinds of rocks, you know, and then it's got from the hardness to the softness, and I'm trying to remember, you know, of course, I didn't have a big diamond or anything there, but... And there was an interest there for a couple of years. Did you as a kid have a little rock collection going, like a lot of us did?
Yes, I did for a while, Lowell, and then I got away from it, you know, in the bigger cities and different activities. And it was only when I came to Alaska and started seeing these beautiful mountains and the scenery, and I wasn't thinking of mining. I just wanted to know more about how these things happened. I just didn't understand what I was seeing because I'm from Flatland. I'm from Florida, and this was all new to me.
Okay. All right. So kind of rekindled an old interest as far as perhaps looking at it, but going deeper to find out the background and more about it rather than just a little rock collection, right?
That's right. I just wanted to know more about it. And like I said, mining extension, the name, doesn't really cover all what you get out of course like that. Jim starts his courses with the beginning of time and comes on forward. You know, you're going to learn about volcanoes, different rock types, metamorphic, sedimentary, and it's just really, we get a little of this in junior high school, maybe, and in high school. And some who don't plan to go into a career of it would still like to learn more.
You mentioned the Australia trip, and we were talking off the air again, and it is not that common. Is there anything planned this year or next year regarding a foreign trip available to people from Fairbanks that they might be able to find out about mining somewhere else?
That's probably a question that would have to, you'd have to check with Mining Extension and Jim Madonna. It isn't a common thing that's happened a lot, especially when you consider most of us are not in degree programs that take Mining Extension, and it was just a great opportunity to learn how people do it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about going perhaps to Africa or somewhere And they still got diamond mining there, right?
Yes, and at one time there was a tour, I think, through mineral engineering that was affiliated with that they did lead a tour to Africa, which included students. But by the time they, you know, the word got out, it wasn't really, there were no seats for people like me who were just have an interest in nature and seeing rocks and minerals. So that's why where the Mining Extension course was a little exceptional.
So you would recommend, again, as we wrap up this afternoon for this edition of Alaska Gold Trails, that if someone has an interest, wants to find out more about Alaska, and I guess this would be called history too, or this is how it all came about, that they should just contact the Mining Extension Service and go from there.
That is correct.
Leah, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Lowell.
That's going to do it for this edition of Alaska Gold Trails. We'll be back with another guest next week between 1 and 2. As we're sitting in for Jim, and we hope you'll join us then. Alaska Gold Trails is brought to you in part by the following fine folks: by Oxford Assaying and Refining, by Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank, BNL Pond, by the Days Inn down in Anchorage, Gabe's Truck and Auto, by Tip Top Chevrolet, and by Macaulay's Repo Graphics. News is next on KFAR in Fairbanks.